In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My Aunt Jackie was my mother's youngest sister. She also happened to be my all-time favorite aunt, my fun-loving aunt, the one I would spend a week visiting in Brooklyn during summer vacation. We did a lot of neat stuff together, which is why she was my favorite aunt. That is, until our visit to Astroland. It was then that she convinced me that riding that cute little wild mouse would be fun. I recall my stomach doing flips, and my seven-year-old teeth rattling in my head as we careened over the top of the highest peak and were lifted off of our seats, while at the same time my bony little body was jolted into the metal sides of our cute wild mouse car as it swung out of control around a curve. It was a memorable moment, not to be repeated if I could help it. So flash forward a few decades and a week-long trip to Disney World as a single mom with my youngest son, Brent. The trip was about spending quality time together. In my mind, quality time and lots of time floating in the pool, watching character parades, and riding the teacups in the Magic Kingdom. In Brent's mind, however, quality time meant riding a roller coaster, specifically the roller coaster known as Space Mountain, the space-themed indoor steel roller coaster at Disney World that was built with the sole purpose of scaring the living daylights out of you. If the twists and turns and careening downward isn't enough, let me tell you that it all takes place in the dark. Yes, in the dark. You can't even see where you are going. And we went on it twice. Yes, you heard me, twice. That's what moms do for love. As an adult, it wasn't so much the jolting and the jarring of the ride that caused me to pause, but rather the lack of control I dreaded. You can't get them to stop the thing once it starts. And you can't will it to slow down through the curves and the dips. If you got on that ride, you were along for the entire ride. I think what got me through the experience twice, did I mention that I went on it twice? Was that I knew logically that the odds were with me. Theme parks have their share of accidents, but they wouldn't stay in business long if they killed everyone who rode their rides. For those of you who have never had the pleasure of this thrill-of-a-lifetime experience, well, you don't know what you're missing. Or perhaps you do. Good for you. But for me, you know, it wasn't so much about living through the fear of being killed. But I realized it was more about surviving the experience of being out of control. The disciples were all about being in control, about managing their fear. In John's Gospel, on the day of the resurrection, on Easter Day, we are told that they locked themselves away, fearing persecution from the Jewish authorities. But despite their best efforts to keep everyone out, Jesus came to them, and he made it clear that they could not continue to hide. We're told Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The peace that Jesus was giving them was not a gentle reassurance, but rather a bold declaration that they could be bold, that they needed to be bold, that his gospel message needed to be spread, and he was depending on them to do the spreading. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. In the scriptures, "don't be afraid" in some form is said 365 times. Don't be afraid. Fear was not to hold them back, because the Holy Spirit would be with them, to empower them, to embolden them, to guide them. Peace be with you. Stop hiding. Have no fear. Be bold. And then we have the account in Acts that we read today. After the encounter with Jesus, the disciples must have wondered why it was so important that they do not fear. But Jesus' appearance and his words were meant to prepare them for what was to come, not just continued persecution from the Jews, but Pentecost. Pentecost was to come, the moment when the Holy Spirit would descend upon them and they would lose control. The Holy Spirit caused them to speak in languages they did not know, yet others around them did understand them, and they were all amazed. They couldn't even contain themselves. Their fear was overcome by what they experienced of God's power. They were in awe. Their fear was overcome by what they saw happening to them and around them, so hiding for them was no longer an option. Talk about a roller coaster ride with physical, spiritual, psychological, and emotional dimensions. Wow. Just like the disciples at Pentecost, we too are vulnerable to the power of the Holy Spirit. And who among us likes or welcomes feeling vulnerable? I know I don't. Does anybody here like feeling vulnerable? Out of control? I don't see anybody with their hands up. Guess not. The stories of the early Christian community are meant to show us and to reassure us that our experience as the church is not so much different than their experience. There came a time when they were afraid for their future, just as we are now. It also was a time when they realized that they were not in control, just like now, and most of all, no longer needed to see themselves as being in control, just like now. They could relinquish their grip, their need to strive under their own power. They could trust that the community of believers that they were with was formed by God and inspired by God's Holy Spirit. All that was to be done was to carry the message into the future, and that would be guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. They just needed to let go, not be in control, allow themselves to be vulnerable. The church today has been entrusted with the message of God to this troubled world, and we as a church gather together as individuals into this community of St. John's. Well, we are to bring assurance and comfort to those who are persecuted, grieving, fearful, lonely, and or those who are in pain. We do that in ways that are absolutely astounding throughout the year and most recently in Mission Possible, reaching out to those who are less fortunate. That's what it means when today's gospel, Jesus says, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And what is living water? Living water is not empty words or empty actions, but Holy Spirit-empowered words and assurances and actions of refreshment and comfort, of wisdom and loving actions to uphold the weary, the sick, the marginalized, and the poor. When we live into and out of our relationship with Jesus, when we trust in Him and His promises, the Holy Spirit ensures that we have what it takes to bring comfort and healing. Because that same God who raised Jesus from the dead was and is the very same God they could and that we can trust and believe in. Amen.